Okay, so we have been doing a study on the Gospel of John. And tonight, we are in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And if you watch closely, you will discover that I didn't make it all the way through. But that's okay, we'll catch up next week because the end of chapter 4 fits into chapter 5. When Jesus knew that the Pharisees heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria, came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, "for his disciples have gone into town to buy food." "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked him. "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, and who's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I'll give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so I won't get thirsty and come back to draw water." "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, yet you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." "I am he," Jesus told her, "the one speaking to you." Just then his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking to a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went into town and told the men, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work," Jesus told them. "Don't you say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they're ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored, and you have benefited from their labor." Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." Therefore, when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we've heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world." After 2 days, he left there for Galilee. Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he entered Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival, for they also had gone to the festival. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight and that we can learn about you and get closer to you. Help me as I open the word, and help us as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, right now, at this point in time, Jesus was rising in prominence because he had explained things to people. People were coming to him, they were listening to him. So he wants to get out of Jerusalem to avoid conflict, because the people who are in charge hate him, because they don't want him to be in charge. They want to be in charge. Now, the shortest route from Jerusalem to Galilee is right straight through Samaria. But a lot of times, people wouldn't do it because they hated them. Now, one of the things you notice is in here, we were talking about, they worship at the temple, and then they worship according to the law of Moses. The Samaritans worshipped in up in the mountains and the well and at Samaria and all these things, but they don't come and do what the law says they're supposed to do. So the Jews don't consider them Jews. Also, they were brought in by the Assyrians after the northern kingdom was carried away. And so, as far as the Jews are concerned, these are just Gentiles that were brought in to fill in from our brothers and sisters who were taken away. The area of Samaria is not recognized by the Romans. And actually, Galilee, Judea, all that wasn't. What they were recognized was Palestine. Palestine is Latin for the land of the Philistines, because that was the people that the Romans knew that had lived there. And so they thought that everything from north of Galilee down to the bottom of Judea, all of it, was the province of Palestine. The funniest thing is when you think that Palestinians today are descended from the Philistines that used to fight against the Jews. However, interestingly enough, one of the biggest groups to come to Christ right after his resurrection was the Philistines. That's why most Palestinians, real Palestinians, are Christians. The Palestinians that you see who are all Muslim are just these very Muslim, very militant Muslims that had come in, and they're mostly Arab. So, as it happened, we knew two Palestinians. One was actually a Palestinian who had grown up Christian, just never been any doubt, and he's totally descended from the Philistines. The other one was predominantly a Jordanian Arab, but she had come to Christ as well from missionaries and so on. So Jesus has got here, and he's going through Galilee, and he comes to Sychar, and he meets the Samaritan woman. Now, this is a vastly different interaction than last week's interaction with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Jesus basically started the interaction with this woman. She wasn't looking for an interaction. But Jesus knew her needs. He knew what she needed. and he was ready to meet it. So he asks her for a drink, knowing that there was going to be prejudice that was going to arise between them. And there was. And so he says to her, if you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me for eternal life. And she says, well, tell me about it. So he sends her to get her husband. And she says, she doesn't have a husband. And then he basically calls her out on her life. You're right. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you've got now really isn't your husband. So, then he's explaining to her about eternal life, and he deflects. She feels that, like, okay, now I'm being called out. So she says, well, you think we ought to worship in Jerusalem. We think we ought to worship here. So who's right? She's deflecting. She's trying to get away from herself. And she's saying, you know, okay, where should we really worship? And no matter what he says, she can disagree with him if she wants to. Except for the fact that he throws her an absolute curve right out of left field. He says, neither. There's coming a time really soon when you won't worship here or there. You'll worship in spirit and in truth. Then he says salvation comes from the Jews. And that's because Jesus is a Jew. So, yes, salvation came through the Jews. She tells him, well, we know Messiah is going to come. And then he'll explain all this to us. This is the only place in the Bible where Jesus himself actually says, I who am speaking to you are him. He says he's the Messiah. Now, different people have said he never said he was God. That's a whole different argument. He did say he was the Messiah. He flat said it right there. So then the disciples come back. And the woman leaves to go tell other people. So they say, eat, come on, have food. And Jesus says, I have other sources of food you don't understand. Doing the will of God is my food. And as he's explaining this to the disciples, here comes the people from the town. And so he explains to them what's happened with the woman. He explains to them who he is. And they begin to turn to him. But mostly they're beginning to turn to him because of what the woman had told him. That he was this great prophet, that he had told her things that he couldn't have known. And then he stays there for 2 more days. And when he leaves, they come to him and they say, we no longer believe because what the woman told us. We've heard you ourselves. And we know that this is the truth. We know you're the God. Once again, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As he's explaining, the Holy Spirit is opening their hearts. And they're saying, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff here that we never actually understood. There's a whole bunch of stuff here that we never actually could reconcile. And so then he leaves and he goes on to Galilee. And it's interesting because it says that he had told them that a prophet is never accepted in his hometown. And yet, they're accepting him. And the reason they're accepting him is because he went to the festival, because this is one of the ones that all Jewish men were required to go to, and the men from Galilee had come down to Jerusalem. They probably went out the other side of the Jordan, came down, went around Samaria. But they'd also been to the festival. And so they knew what he had said, what he had done, and they had heard him there. So now they're welcoming him in from having seen him. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, don't be prejudiced. We see this woman who thinks, no Jew's ever going to talk to me because I'm a Samaritan. And Samaritans are just split from Jews. It has been said that if Jesus did the parable of the Good Samaritan in the United States in the mid-60s, he would have had the parable of the white guy beat up on the side of the road and a black guy helped him. Because it's... and in fact, they actually had... it was the other way around, but they had a lady pulls up on the side of the road, her car's broken down, she's just, what am I going to do? And she's in the middle of all of this racist country, and white guy stops, and he helps her, she had a flat tire or whatever, he helped her, and got her back on her way, and she got all this information, and the next thing you know, he gets a big color TV. Now once again, in the 1960s, a big color TV was very expensive. Turned out she was the wife of Nat King Cole, and she was on the way to him because he was in the hospital at the time, dying. And he got her there while he was still alive because he helped her, a white guy helping a black lady. And so she returned the favor. She said, no, I'm going to reward you because you were one of those people who were good to us. So we need not to be prejudiced, because you never know who God's sending you to. I've said before, I had a guy on a boat that I was on that was a child abuser. He was abusing his kids. I didn't like him a lot, but God sent me to talk to him. He actually came to me we had a duty one night, and he waked me up, and he wanted me to explain to him how it was that I got along so well and had more kids than he did, and kids just drive me crazy. And I said, they drive me crazy too. Let's talk about this. Remember, worship is in spirit. This place is not the church. We are the church. We don't necessarily have to be in any particular place to worship. Now, some denominations believe you do. Some denominations believe you can't worship until you've got just the right people there. But the truth of the matter is, just what Jesus just said, we don't worship at a place. We worship in spirit and in truth. We worship God, who is spirit, and it can be anywhere. We need to remember that anybody can be a witness. Here comes this woman, and apparently she had a pretty bad reputation. Everybody knew it. And yet, when they heard her say, this person told me all this stuff, they ran out to see. Because, obviously, he had told her bad stuff, and they knew bad stuff, so he got it right. So they wanted to see somebody who got it right. Just get people to come and see. Just tell them, okay, come with me to church and we will worship God and see what you feel. See if you think that this is really right. We need to remember that the world rejects Jesus, just like the people who were in prominence rejected Jesus. But we must welcome him, because he's like us. He's humble and gentle, at least until he comes back, because when he comes back, stand by for heavy roles. This time it's King David, and bad guys better beware. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help us to witness for you everywhere we go. Help us not to spread prejudice and to try to stamp it out every chance we get. Just make everything in our lives exactly the way you want it to be, and make us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.